Okay. Yes. Okay, so the question was about equanimity and how do you practice it? It sounds very nice in theory, but how do you practice it with people who are really awful? You know, because she's saying the best you can do is just ignore him. Yeah. But that doesn't seem to really solve the thing. Okay, well, the problem with when there's people that we don't get along with, you know, the problem is our anger. Okay? So this gets into the whole topic of working with our anger. So there's a small booklet on that, and then there's a big book on it. The big book obviously has more than the small booklet. It talks about how to work with anger. I think one of the important things, for me anyway, is to realize that when people do harmful things, it's because they're unhappy inside. Okay? So when somebody is being rude, when they're being harmful in one way or another, it's an expression of their unhappiness. They wish to be happy. They're doing what they think is the method to happiness, and they often create more problems in the process of it. But really what they're trying to say is, I'm unhappy and I'm trying to be happy, and I'm confused about how to go about that. And I think if we can see the people who harm us in that light, it gives us the ability to be a little bit softer and not quite as judgmental towards them. Okay? Because we see, here's somebody who's unhappy. Here's somebody who's confused. Because people don't harm others when they feel happy, do they? Yeah. You don't wake up in the morning and say, the sun's shining, I feel so good, I think I'm going to go hurt somebody's feelings. No? We don't say that. When we do that, it's because something's going on inside of us. Okay, so if we practice looking at other people in that way, that can help us soften a little bit towards them. And that perspective also gives us a little bit of space so that we don't necessarily take what other people say and do so personally. And I think this is one of the big things, at least when I look at my life. You know, if somebody criticizes me or somebody does something behind my back or they interfere with a project I'm working on, I feel like I bristle, like, you know, they're doing this deliberately against me. You know, I take everything so personally. And so that means that you know, with that kind of attitude, that everything really gets blown up out of proportion. Yeah, because every small thing everybody does is then, you know, placed within the perspective of, you know, is this according to what I like or what I don't like? And so at some point, you know, just being able to release that a little bit. And, you know, not everything has to go my way. Not everything everybody criticizes me for is necessarily true. I need to look, and if it's true, I need to, you know, make some amends. But I don't need to take everything quite so personally. Okay? So that helps us to have a little bit more of an equal attitude towards other people. Okay? This whole thing about equanimity, it really requires a lot of training on our parts. Really putting some energy into it. And so, for example, training our mind whenever we see people to think, you know, this person wants happiness as much as I do, and this person wants to be free of suffering as much as I do. So when you're on the MRT, instead of just, you know, sitting there like this, or instead of looking at everybody and, oh, their shoes don't match what they're wearing. Their hair is a mess, and, you know, instead of getting into all these judgmental thoughts, just look at the different people on the MRT or on the bus, and you know, this person wants to be happy and be free of suffering. And if you don't ride public transportation and you're stuck in a traffic jam, which I'm noticing Singapore has more of, yeah, years ago there weren't quite so many traffic jams, you know, look at the other people in the cars around you, and instead of thinking, I want to get there first, I'm not going to let them get in that 6 feet in front of me, you know, just look at them, you know, that person wants to be happy and not suffer, just like me. Yeah. And so you practice that with the people you see around you. And then that helps to develop a more of a feeling of equanimity, because we're really seeing what we have in common with others. Okay? But working with our anger really takes some effort. I got a question on Friday. I gave the talk about how to deal, you know, with how to live with fear and worry. Or maybe it was how to live without fear and worry. I can't remember which it was. And then somebody wrote me an email afterwards and said, I tried thinking like that, but after 10 minutes, the worry came back. And, you know, we need to work with this over time and, you know, really familiarize our mind with a new way of thinking. This is why we meditate, because meditate means to familiarize. Okay.
I want to know whether is it right or wrong. I sent my child to a Christian school, so if you come back saying that I gave thanks to Jesus and what happened and, you know, the Bible story and so on, but he's born in a Buddhist family. So I'm just wondering whether would that confuse him in terms of religion, or would that do any harm to him? Mm.
So she's saying that she sends her child to a Christian school, and the child comes back saying, I paid thanks to Jesus. And she's wondering if that creates some confusion. I believe so, yeah. And, I mean, if you want your child to grow up as a Buddhist, you should raise your child as a Buddhist. And if you're putting them in a Christian school, they are going to hear Christian ideas, and children are very receptive to whatever they hear. They don't question things. So I think it's important from the beginning that you raise your children with the kind of ideas and philosophy that you would like them to hold. In terms of religion, people in the end of the day will pick up, you know, what religion they want, and some religions are more suitable for other people. But when you're raising children, I think if you feel that there's a certain advantage and certain good thoughts and principles in Buddhism, then raise them with those thoughts and principles and that kind of framework. I'm sure that wasn't the answer you wanted me to give. But I don't necessarily say what pleases everybody. Yes.
I would talk about how to be happy at work, because I think Singaporeans spend a lot of time in company, and we need jobs to support our life, and we actually have to pay a lot of bills. To good people and people who show kindness to us, it's very easy for us to reciprocate. For very unkind people, we can either choose to ignore, be empathetic, don't care, be focused on the negative side and focus on the positive one, or be indifferent towards them. If you face people show a very little kindness to you, what should you do?
If they're showing kindness to you, if they're not showing kindness to you. Okay, so he's asking if people are not showing kindness to you, what do you do? I think, first of all, before you do anything, make sure that you don't get angry at them for not treating the way you think you should be treated. because we kind of have our rules of the universe. This is me. People should treat me like this. And they're not treating me like I need to be treated. Yeah, so, you know, make sure, kind of get rid of that rule of the universe, so to speak, that people always should treat us the way we do. But if people are ignoring us or whatever, I think it can be helpful to be a little bit friendly with them. Yeah, that may be the last thing that you want to do. But if you can create a friendly attitude, you know, you think this person wants to be happy just like me, they don't want to suffer just like me, and so you know something important about them no matter how they treat you, and then you try and be friendly back, again, without expecting anything. I'll tell you a few stories about that. There's one man in our group in Seattle named Peter. And he worked for National Public Radio. He's a journalist. This was his previous job. And there was another journalist in the office who Peter had never spoken to. You know, they worked in the same office for a long time, but they always kind of walked by each other and never made eye contact. And Peter just assumed, well, for whatever reason, this guy doesn't like me, so I won't make any, you know, effort to be nice to them or say anything or anything. So Peter was coming to Dharma class, and we had this kind of discussion about this topic, and I suggested to people, you know, just try to be friendly to other people. So Peter went into work, you know, the next day, and when the guy walked past, he made eye contact, and he said, hello. You know, this was a real new thing, you know, stopping and saying hello. And the other guy stopped and said hello, and they started talking. And as they were talking, the other man said how much he admired Peter's news stories. And this was after all that time when Peter thought the other guy didn't like him. Isn't that amazing? And he found that when he actually stopped to talk to the other person, the other guy was friendly and actually had some positive regard for him. Another story that happened, I was teaching in Madison, Wisconsin, and I gave the group I was teaching the homework assignment every day to say something nice about somebody. Yeah, sounds like a funny homework assignment, but it's a really important one. Yeah, every day to say something nice about somebody and to say something nice, to praise somebody's qualities to their face. Okay, and we usually talk about their faults behind their back, but to try and say, praise their qualities to their face and also behind their back say something nice about them. So I gave them this homework assignment, and I said, if you can practice with somebody that gives you difficulty, that's even better, okay? So, and this one man afterwards came up to class, and he said, oh, I have this colleague at work, and we just don't get along, and what do I do? And I said, do your homework assignment with this guy. So the next week, when we came to class, I bumped into this man outside, and I said, well, how did it go? And he said, well, the first day I went into work, and I knew I had to say something nice to this person, to his face, and I couldn't think of anything, so I made something up. And he said, after that, it got much easier. He said, and actually, I see the guy isn't, you know, quite as bad now as I thought he was. Yeah? So just by the power of, you know, the first day he made something up, but then after that he began actually to see more good qualities in this person. And somehow by the fact of saying something nice to this person, the other person responded, you know, and was a lot friendlier. Hmm? So I think in many situations where you feel that there's weird energy or people don't like you or whatever, it's very good. Just, you know, you don't want to be, you know, fake friendly. You don't want to go, you know, I mean, nobody likes fakes. But if you kind of have a naturally friendly personality, then, you know, you don't need to inhibit that. And, you know, just be kind to other people. And people really appreciate that. You know, so for example, in your office, you know, bring in snacks, bring in some treats for everybody, put it by the coffee machine. Yeah? Have you ever thought of doing that? To bring in some treats or some goodies for your colleagues in your office or your factory? Or do you just wait for them to bring those in for you to eat them? Yeah? But instead, you be proactive, you know? Let's stop. You don't need to make a big deal about it. I brought this for everybody, you know? But it creates a much happier work environment, doesn't it? Yeah? Or, you know, offer to wash your colleague's coffee cup. You know, just simple things. Simple things sometimes can create a much more caring workplace. Now, people sometimes say, but if you spend so much time, you know, being nice to people, you don't get your work done. Actually, you get more work done. Okay? Because when people are happy and they feel comfortable, they concentrate better and they work better, and they don't spend so much time being depressed and ruminating about what's going on in the office and you know. So I think it benefits everybody to create a workplace where people care about each other. And if you're in management, to really care about the people who are underneath you, you know. They're not just horses that you work until they drop, but they're human beings with families. And, you know, try and have some understanding and help them if they need help to do their job. But you know, a lot of this is, I think, so useful just in our daily lives. Just, you know, just being kind to people. Because we always look, you know, we look at His Holiness the Dalai Lama, we think of Mother Teresa, we look at Thich Nhat Hanh, and oh, these people benefit so many sentient beings. And, you know, we look at Kuan Yin, and, you know, she benefits countless immeasurable sentient beings. And how can I ever benefit sentient beings like that? How can I ever do that? But, you know, if you think about it, we all have our own little fields of activity. And, you know, the Dalai Lama doesn't live in your family. You know, and Kuan Yin isn't in your workplace. But you are. You know, you live in that family. You work in that workplace. So, you know, it's your responsibility to bring their loving kindness into your family and to your colleagues. And it can be done in such incredibly small ways. Just some more things about family. You know, how many of you are grumpy in the morning? Come on, there's more than, come on, grumpy people, who's grumpy in the morning? Not just six of you, come on. Who's grumpy in the morning? Do I have to ask your spouse or your children to find out the truth? Okay, some people are grumpy in the morning. Yeah? But try, when you wake up, to kind of pull yourself out of your grumpiness. And when you have breakfast with your family, you know, even if you have to make an effort, try and be pleasant. Yeah? Instead of, you know, sitting at the breakfast table, you know, and your husband or wife says, good morning, and you go, oh, you know, and your kids say, mommy, daddy, I love you, you know. I mean, like I was saying, the way you transform your family, Dalai Lama isn't in your family, you know. So you try going down to breakfast and being a little bit more pleasant. Okay. When you come home from work, how do people usually come home from work? Unlock the door, open the door, throw your work stuff on the sofa, sit down. I'm so tired. I have such a hard day. And you pull out the remote control from the television. Click, click, click. You know, eat something. I'm so tired. What a day. Oh, kid, you want something? What do you want? Go do your homework. Yeah? What kind of family are you going to have? Yeah? Try, you know, if you're driving, you know, before you get out of the car, if you take the MRT or the bus, you know, just pause before you go in your front door. Just pause and think, you know, I'm going to see the people I care about the most. Because it's your family you care about the most, isn't it? Yeah. These are the people that I really love and cherish, and I want to enjoy my time with them. And to enjoy my time, I have to, you know, bring a pleasant being into the house. I can't just kind of plop myself down and expect, you know, everything to center on me. So, you know, try and let go of the tiredness you have from work, you know, and really look forward to being with your family. And when you go in the door, you know, greet everybody, say hello to them. You know, your husband or wife might be shocked out of their mind if you actually make eye contact and say hello. But, you know, it's going to improve the relationship a lot. And similarly with your kids, you know, talk to your kids. You know, how often do we make eye contact with the people that we care about? You know, we have family dinners, but everybody just sits there eating or, you know, saying blah, 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 blah. But, you know, do you really look your kids in the eye? Do you really look them in the eye with love? Not like that. But, you know, give them a loving look. Give your spouse a loving look. Now, this is the way you bring Kuan Yin's kindness into your family. And it doesn't matter if they respond or don't respond, because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for the sake of your own kind heart. You're doing it because you want to be a kind person, because you know that kindness is the way to bring happiness. Any other questions? Yeah.
Today morning, you asked us to meditate on a living Buddha, not a Buddha statue.
Yeah.
What is the significance of this?
Okay. So this morning, I asked the people who were doing the, who are meditating on the image of the Buddha, to imagine the Buddha as alive instead of as a statue. And so he said, what's the significance of this? If you think of the Buddha as a living being, you get that real feeling of a Buddha's qualities. And you get the feeling that you can communicate with the qualities of the Buddha. If you just visualize a statue, then it's more difficult to feel that connection. So that's why.